Let's Bez Hashem Beli Neder. Let's finish Shas together. Let's finish the second parak of Erevin together, Beli Neder. This morning's learning is dedicated to Ilan Ishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Tzvi ben Harav Yosef, as well as for Chaim Tzvi ben Avraham. Zechardim Levracha. We are in the last four lines of Chaf Hei Amid Beis. Today's daf is daf Erevin daf Chavav. Hahi Abvarnika. Abvarnika is like a small hut-like thing that kings used to make in the middle of their orchards. And they used to put down their garments there, their coats, and other things when they would stroll in the orchard. They didn't want to carry it around. So, the Havalei L'Resh Galusa, Bibustanei. The Resh Galusa had this little hut in the middle of his orchard. And the orchard was more than 5,000 square amos, and it was not hukah fladira. So therefore, it would be usher to carry in the orchard. So the question is, Amar le l'Rav Huna bar Chinana, so the Resh Galusa said to Rav Huna bar Chinana, do me a favor. I'd like to carry in this orchard over Shabbos. Can you please do something to this orchard to allow me to carry there? Le'evid mar takanta, I want to carry some bread out from my castle, add into the orchard. I want to be able to eat in this hut. Azal ovad kana kana pachas mishloisha. So what did he do? Like a good servant, he went and he made a little pathway from the house straight to the sukkah of little poles that are less than three tefachim away from each other. Loved poles straight from the house out to the orchard. Now, so this is what Rav Huna bar Chinana did. So says the Gemara, Azal Rava. So then Rava went Shalfinu. He knocked down these walls that Rav Huna bar Chinana did, because Rava held that since he built this sukkah hut in the middle of the orchard, that by itself made the orchard like the chatzar of this hut, and it's considered to be hukah fladira. Once he built the hut in there, you don't need this. Also, Rav Papa of Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua, naktinu mi basre. Rav Papa and Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua, they gathered up these beams after Rava knocked them down, so that Rav Huna bar Chinana would not be able to put them back in the ground. Now, says the Gemara is not going to present three challenges to Rava's psak, that this sukkah should make this into hukah fladir. The Gemara is going to give you three reasons why it should not work, and why the Talmud, and why Rav Huna bar Chinana was right for putting up those things, because and the Amorayim and Rava, and Rav Papa and Rav Huna bar Yeshua, who all took it away, they were wrong. So Lamachar, the next day they wanted to go out and eat. So as they're about to leave the house to carry out there, Esve Ravina l'Rava. Ravina asked against Rava, how could you permit carrying into this orchard just because of the sukkah? Because we have a brisa as far as measuring Tchum Shabbos. Here you have a city that has a wall around it, but the wall is like very far away from the last house of the city. So the question is, do you measure from the last house of the city or do you measure from the wall when you're measuring 2,000 amos? So Zak the brisa, Ir Chadasha, Modedin la mi yeshivasa. If it's a new city, then you measure from the last house. V'yishan, if it's an old city, mechomasa. Then you measure from the wall. Ezo hi chadasha ve'ezo hi yishana. Chadasha shehukva ulubesof yashva. A new city is one that first you built the wall. And only after you built a wall, you built the houses. So that's called an ir chadasha. So then, the wall is not considered to be hukaf ladira in that area, in that extra area, because you had the wall before you had any houses. So in such a case, the wall is not considered to be the wall of the city itself. Because you built the wall, you didn't even have the houses in there yet. But Yeshana means Yashva Ulub Sofukva. First, you built the houses. So the area was considered to be Hukaf Ladira, because the whole goal of the houses was obviously to live there. And now you built the wall to protect those houses. So once you built the wall to protect existing houses, and then that wall is considered to be Hukaf Ladira, because at the time you built the wall, there were already houses that it was protecting. So now the Gemara wants to say, so now Ravina wants it sushtel from this case over to our case. What's the comparison? Vahainami. In this case, you had the walls of the orchard were up way before you put up this hut, this whatever we called it, this abvarnka. So the walls were up way before. Hainami kuhuk for the basof yashvadami. It's like the wall was up first, and then you made it hukaf ladira afterwards. It doesn't work. That's kash number one. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava. So Rav Papa asked Rava kasha number two. V'ha'amar Rav Asi mechitzos adrichalin. I believe, like in modern Hebrew nowadays, an adrichal is an architect. Not sure. I think so. Unless an architect is an architect. But that adrichal, I think, is like a builder or an architect, the official Hebrew word. Mechitzos, adrichalim, these are just like contractors, builders. So these builders would put up these like temporary walls to protect them from the sun while they were building walls. Mechitzos, adrichalim, lo shma mechitza. It's not considered to be hukaf ladira because it wasn't really made for living there. It's just made to protect them from the sun. Alma kevan delitzniusa avidala loyhave mechitza. Since it wasn't really made to live in, just to protect the area from sun, that's not called hukaf ladira. Hachanami kevan delitzniusa avidala havi mechitza. They just had this hut up there. The hut was just there to protect the gold garments, protect the clothing. It wasn't really made to live in there. Afterwards, they decided, oh, you know what, let's go have a little picnic in there. But it wasn't made for that purpose. It was just Litznius. That's not called Hukaf Ladira. No one's sleeping there. No one's. It's not a permanent area. That's kasha number two. V'amar Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua l'Rava. And Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, also said to Rava, how could you be matir? V'ha'am Rav Huna mechitza ha'asuya l'nachas. Similar case, Rav Huna said, a wall that was just made to watch those things that are inside it, not to live in it, just for protection. Loishma mechitza. D'harabah baravua ma'arav la'lukula mechoza. Arsiyasa, arsiyasa. Rabbah baravua used to make an Erev in the entire town of Mechuza. In every single neighborhood in Mechuza, he would make loads of Eruvin. He said every neighborhood had to make its own Shitufei Mevos so that they should be able to carry there. But he did not make one big one in the city. Mishum Peira de Beit Torah. Because there was like a garbage area there where they would throw all of the date pits for the oxen to eat all around the town. And this was in the alleys in between the different neighborhoods. And those mavois were open on the entire length of the city. And they divided the different neighborhoods. And Rabbi Baravu didn't want to make one Erev in the whole city, because there was no wall that could go on either side of these massive big troughs, whatever, that they used to make for the animal eating. And even though they made mechitzas on one end of this mavoi, to protect the date pits that were there for the animals. Nevertheless, it was considered to be open, even though it had a wall on one side. V'hapeira de Beit Torah, this mechitza that they would make on one end of this large mavoi, k'mechitza asu l'nachas dami, it's just there to protect. It's there to protect the stuff that's inside it. It was made to protect the date pits that for the animals. And Rabbi Bar Avu would not rely on that mechitza to make the whole city into one area, because that wall is not a significant wall. Similarly, a mechitza made for protection is not considered to be a mechitza. So for all these three reasons, the Gemara says that Rava was wrong in ripping down the pathway. So Rava listened to the three rabbis and said, you know, you got me, all three, you got me. I was wrong. The poor Reish Galusa couldn't have his party. Kari alai Reish Galusa. So when Reish Galusa, he asked one Talmud to make a path. The Talmud made a path. Rava ripped it down because he disagreed with the need for the path. Then three rabbis told Rava he was wrong for ripping it down. Said the Reish Galusa, Chachamim heim alahara ulehitiv lo yadu. He quoted the pasuk. You guys only know your chachma to make life miserable for me, and you don't use your chachma to make life good for me. I asked you, I knew this was a problem. I asked you to fix it, Erev Shabbos. And now you guys, you rabbis, can't get your act together. Some of you say, I need a path, and now you guys rip it down. Well, you use your wisdom only to make problems for me and not for my good. Right, they say, Koch de hetera adif, the Gemara says, when a rabbi uses his lamdus to make things mutter. I heard once Rabbi Hain spoke in DRS, he quoted from the Ostrov Sereba, that I forgot the whole vart, something about how that the Chachamim were able to darshan, the Torah says 40 lashes, but we only give 39. So the tzaddikim were able to darshan out the psukim to make things lighter on Klal Yisrael. That's a Talmud Chacham. That's a tzaddik. Okay, I'm a Rabbi Lod.
Was it that it was the it wasn't used for dwelling, or wasn't that it wasn't permanent, or both?
Well, I think that's all the different svaras. They said it wasn't really. I think the main thing is, well, first of all, it happened after the walls. It came in late. That was one thing. It came in too late. You can't. That was one thing. The houses that come in after the walls don't count, apparently, according to one opinion. Then you have the fact that it wasn't really made to live in. It was just made to protect the garments. And then you have also, the third one is also the similar thing. It's only made to protect that which is inside it, but not to dwell. Hukaf Ladira means it's got to be for dwelling, and not just, I guess, not just a garage or something. That's, you know, if it's just there to store stuff. That's what it seems to say, Avi.
So nothing to do with the permanence. It was more than
right. I don't think so. Well. Right. I don't. No. Was that one of the? Yeah, you're right. That was the one thing in the middle. Talked about the permanence, the builders. Yeah. Hold on. Let me just. What did the Gemara say? Adrichalim letzniusa, lechasos osamakum pneachama, and not to live there. Yeah. It sounds like also wasn't an issue. Yes. So you're right, Avi. The Rishon Bet, the Ritva says. The Ritva says also it wasn't really permanent. The Ritva understands that line of the Gemara that it was an issue of permanence. Thank you for pointing that out. That's correct. That's what he says. And because otherwise it's like the same as the other criteria. What's that really adding? That's a good ha'ara, Avi. I think that's what the Ritva says there. That's a vart that it wasn't permanent. Great. Okay. Amar Rabbi Lai. Shamati me Rabbi Eliezer. Va'afilu base kor. I heard from Rabbi Eliezer. He held that if it's not hukaf ladira, even if it was 30 sa, wow, not hukaf ladira, you're allowed to carry there. That was Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Masnisin. So this Mishnah, delo kechananya, is against Chananya. Desanya Chananya Omer, vafilu hi arboim sa, ki istaratya shel melech. So the first opinion said that Rabbi Eliezer had 30 sa. Here you see he said even 40 sa. They both learned that the shittas from the same pasuk. Shneimar pasuk says when Yishayo Hanavi was visiting Chizkiyo Hamelech when he got sick. I think we had this whole story in Maseches Shabbos also, right? They had a whole fight about this. right? I marry your daughter, you're going to get better. Was that the same? Was that the same story? Wasn't that the same story?
I think it's Gemara and Brachos for me.
Yeah, wasn't it Yeshayo and Chizkiya? Wasn't it the same thing? Yeshayo and Avi and Chizkiya Melech?
Yeah, absolutely.
So here you don't have that whole story here. Here you have by he Yeshayo lo yatzah
his daughter at the end, right?
Yeah. You remember? He said, "Sorry, it's too late. You can't marry my daughter." By he Yeshayo lo yatzah. But in this case, actually, he did get healed. Apparently, I'm not sure it's exactly the same story, but by he Yeshayo lo yatzah chatzar atichona. So before Yeshayo was able to go out into Chizkiyo's backyard, which wasn't Mukaf Ladira, Ksiv Ha'ir V'Karinan Chatzer. So it calls it a Chatzer, but earlier called it the city. Says the Gemara, Mikan L'Staratia Shel Melech Shoi Kayaris Beinonios. The back alleys of the king's palaces was mamish like a city. He called the back alley a Chatzer, even though it was huge. It was huge, and it wasn't Mukaf Ladira. Nobody would use that area. So we learn from Shabbos, even a large area like a city, and it's not Hukaf Ladira, you're allowed to carry there. But Maika Miflia, what are they arguing about? Mar Savar, Ayaros, Beinonios, Havian, Kibes Kor. One of them holds a medium-sized city. It's like 30 sa, an area to plant 30 sa. Omar Savar, Arbaim sa, Havian. One says that an average city is 40 sa. Says the Gemara, V'yishayo, my boy, Hasam. What was Yeshayo doing in Chizkiyo's back alley? Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Malamed Shechala Chizkiyo, Vahalach Yeshayo, Vahoshiv Yeshiva Al Pischo. Chizkiyo got sick, and Yeshayo wanted to help him, so he arranged that a yeshiva should learn at the entrance to the house of Chizkiyo, so that the Malach HaMavis shouldn't be able to get into the house to kill Chizkiyo. Mikan l'tamad chacham shechala shemoshivin yeshiva al pischo. From here we learn out that when a tamad chacham gets sick, you should have people learning Torah on the entrance of his house. Says the Gemara, v'lav milsehi. And this is not correct. Dil ma'asi legrui beis satan. The Gemara says it's not a good idea to do this. Because if you're calling too much attention to the fact that the Talmud Chacham is sick, adarabah, you're going to cause the Satan to, it's going to be an ayin hara, and you're going to cause the Satan to attack him even more. Wow.
Rabbeinu David HaMelech acted this way also. Though.
Yeah. We saw that. Right. He learned. But that was he himself learning, right? He himself learned so the Malach didn't get him. The Ritva explains here that we can't learn from what Yeshayo did to Chizkiyo to do this way for other Talmid Chachamim, because he only did this to Chizkiyo, because Chizkiyo was a Navi and a Tzadik Gomer. And the Maharsha explains that you can't learn from Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo, you didn't have Shayach, the reason of the Malach HaMavis, came and Shekvar Nigzar Alav Sheyamas. It was already decreed that he was going to die, like Yeshayo prophesied. And if not for the Tefillah, he would have died. Okay. V'chein shamati mimen heimenu. Right, the Mishnah also said, Rabbi Eloi said, I heard from Rabbi Lezer, Anshe Chotzer Sheshachach Echad Velo Irev. If one of the members of a Chotzer forgot to make an Erev Chatzeros, and then on Shabbos he was Mevatel his Rishus to the other members of the Chotzer, Beso Usser for him, but other people can carry in and out of his house. Asks the Gemara, Vahatanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah later on? Beso asa lohotzi lachnis lo villahen. A guy forgot to make an Erev Chatzeros, so that house is usher not only for him to carry in and out of, but even other people can't carry in and out of his house, even though he's mevatel his rishus to the other members of the Chatzer. Answers the Gemara, Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshes, lo ikasha. Ha Rabbi Eliezer v'ha Rabbanan. This issue, the Rabbi Eloi said, whether or not the other members of the Chatzar can carry in and out of the house, they all made a Ruvi Chatzeros, but this guy forgot to. So he's Mevatel his Rishus to the other members, but the question is, when he's Mevatel his Rishus, in what way does he do that? Does he only allow, is his intention to only allow the Chatzar usage his chelik in the chatzer to the other people to use to carry in the chatzer? Or is his intention even to allow the other members of the chatzer to carry in and out of his home? What does he mean? Har Rabbi Eliezer v'har Rabbanan. Kishetim tse lomar l'divri Rabbi Eliezer mevatel rishos chatzero rishos beiso bitel. A guy who's mevatel the rishos of his chatzer, his intention is even to be mevatel his house. And therefore the other people can carry not only in the chatzer, in his chelik of the chatzer, but they can carry also into his house. According to Chachamim, if you're mevatel rishos chatzero, you're not mevatel rishos beso. Asks the Gemara Pshita. Isn't this obvious? This is the root of the dispute, obviously. What do you need Rav Sheshis to explain this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rachva, Anav Rav Huna Bar Chinuna, Tar Gimna, me and Rav Huna Chin explain this story. Lay Nitzricha, Ella, for a different case. You're right. In this case, what they're arguing about is obvious. But the question is, if once I explain to you what the logic is, you could apply it to other cases. Lay Nitzricha, Ella, L'chamisha Sheshruyin, B'chatzer Echa, you have five people living in the same chatzer. One of them didn't make an Eruv. L'divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that whenever a person is mevatel his rishus, he does it in the most expansive way possible. He does it in the most generous, expansive way possible. And therefore, a guy who is mevatel the rishus in the chatzer is also mevatel the rishus in his house. And we don't say, listen, he only spoke explicitly about the chatzer. So he doesn't mean to give rishus to the house. So we can learn if there's five people living in one chaser, kishehu mevata rishus, so ein sarach levata lechol echad ve'echad. He doesn't have to explicitly state, I'm giving permission for Shruvein and for Shimon and for Levi and for Yehuda. He doesn't have to mention every person's name explicitly. If he says, I'm mevata to one person, the assumption is he's mevata to everybody. Because he's a nice guy, we assume when a guy's mevatel, he's letting everybody have rishus. L'rabbanon, kishu mevatel rishus, l'chavatel chalechad v'echad. When the Chacham assumes we only take his words at face value, if he only said the chatzer, we only allow people to carry in the chatzer, we will not allow other people to carry into his house. Similarly, if the guy's only mevatel his rishus to one other guy in the chatzer, everybody else is not allowed to carry. Says the Gemara, Keman Azlaha Desanya. Like whose opinion is the following going? Chamisha Sheshruyin B'chatzer Echad. Five people. Five people living in one Chatzer. V'shachach Echem Mehen V'lo Irev. One of them forgot to make an Eruv. Kishu Mevatel Rishuso Ein Tzarech Levatel Rishus Kalecha V'Echad. He doesn't have to stipulate and mention that he's being mevatel just to each guy. He could just say he's being mevatel to one of the guys, and then everybody has rishus. Keman, Kirabi Eliezer. Says Gemara, Rav Kahana Masni Hachi. Rav Kahana learned it like this. Rav Tivyuma Masni Hachi. Rav Tivyuma learned it slightly differently with the same ultimate upshot. That Rav Sheshis himself explained the price in this case. Like Rabbi Eliezer. Keman Azla Hadisanyo. Chamisha Sheshruim. Bechatzer Echad. One of them didn't make an Eruv. You don't have to name every guy. So the Gemara asked the following shaila. You just told me, Rabbi Eliezer, we assume he's a nice guy. If he says the chatzer, he means the house also. Rabbanan say no. If he says the chatzer, he just means the chatzer. He's not allowing people to carry in and out of his house. So the shaila is, I don't know why this is such a shaila. To me, the answer is obvious, and the Gemara is going to conclude with the obvious answer. But the shaila is, let's say the guy explicitly states, Rabbi Eliezer says, if the guy just says the chatzer, so we assume he's the house also. But Eliezer says, no. I'm being mevatel the rishus of my chatzer, but not my house. Or according to Chacham, who say usually means the chatzer, not the house, let's say he says, I'm being mevatel my rishus of the chatzer, and also the house. So what happens if he explicitly goes against it? I mean, to me, it should be obvious what the din is. But let's see. Amalei Rav Papa Labai. Le Rabbi Eliezer, who normally says, if the guy just says the chatzi means the house also, I amar lo mevatilna. If he says, I'm not giving rishus to the house, le Rabbanon, I amar mevatilna mai, what's the halacha? So what's the Gemara? The Gemara was bothered by what I was bothered by. What's the Shaila? Time of the Rabbi Eliezer, Mishim de Kosav HaMevatel, Rishos Chatzero, Rishos Beiso Bitel, V'hai Omer Ano Lo Mevatilna. That's the simple logic, right? We normally assume when a guy's Mevatel is Chatzero, he means Mevatel the house also. That's when you could assume he doesn't say anything, but here he said explicitly, there's that. So what's the Shaila? No. Oh, Dilma, time of the Rabbi Eliezer, maybe the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer is a different reason. Maybe we got the reasoning wrong. Odilma time of the Rabbi Eliezer, mishum de bayis below chotzer, lo avidi inshi de diary. If you're going to be locked inside your house the whole Shabbos and your mamish can't move, you can't carry anything into your chotzer. Bayis below chotzer, especially in those days, gentlemen, those days, the houses were tiny. So the chotzer was like, an additional room, like you couldn't live in the house without the chatzer. The reason Rabbi Eliezer is so, when a guy is mevatel the chatzer, for sure he means to be mevatel the house too, because a house without a chatzer is not a house. So clearly he means for the house to go along with the chatzer. So if he's going to be mevatel his rishus in the chatzer, once he's forbidding himself to carry from the house to the chatzer, it's as if he has a house without a chatzer, and a house without a chatzer is not a house, by definition. Halachically, a house without a chatzer is not a house. V'chi ka'amar lo mevatilna, and therefore, once he says, oh, but I'm not giving rishus for the house, we apply the rule of butla daito etzel kala olam. He's saying, oh, for this Shabbos, I'm going to have a house without a chatzer, but a house without a chatzer is halachically not considered to be a house, so he doesn't have the right to say such a thing. And we say, butla daito itzel kala olam. Lav kol kamine. It's not within his power to keep for himself the house when he gave the rest of the olam the chatzer. Af al gav de omer dayarna lav klum kamar. Even though he says, I'm going to, for this Shabbos, live in the house without using my chatzer, so clearly he didn't mean it. Not that he didn't mean it, he meant it, but it's meaningless what he said, because a house without a chatzer is not a house, and therefore his words are meaningless, halachically. And then the Rabbanon the same way in the other direction. The Rabbanon, I amar mevatilna my time of the Rabbanon, mishum dekasavi amar mevatel rishus chatzero, rishus beiso lo bitel, v'hai amar mevatilna, right? The Chachamim say, the guy only said the chatzer. Okay, that's where he only said the chatzer, but if he says the house also, so obviously we're going to listen to him, and people are going to be allowed to carry from the chatzer into the house. Now what's the other side of the argument? Oh, Dilma, no. Time of the Rabbanon Mishum Delo Ovid Inish De Misalik Nafshi Lagamri Mibayis V'chotzer. He says the exact opposite Svarah. What's a guy going to do? He's going to say, listen, I'm allowing all you guys to use my chotzer, but my bedroom, that I'm allowing you to walk into? No, most normal people don't let people into their bedrooms. I'll allow you to use my backyard, my front yard, but for you to walk into my bedroom, so V'havi Kiorech Lagabayu. People lend out their yards, but to lend out my bedroom? I'm not lending out my kitchen? My bedroom? I'm not lending that out. V'hai, this guy, Kiyom V'atam, so therefore this guy who says, I'm going to allow you to carry into my kitchen, into my bedroom, whenever you want to. Lav kol kamine. So we say, butla daite, it's kala olam, in the other direction, that even though he's allowing the house, that's ridiculous. Most normal people wouldn't allow the house, and therefore we say, butla daito. But what does the Gemara conclude? No, we don't apply these fancy svaras of butla daita. If the guy said it, the guy said it. You got to take him at his word. Amalei bein l'rabban bein l'rabbeleza kevin de gali daite gali. Once he explicitly states, I'm mevatel the chatzer, but I'm not mevatel the house, that's what he means. He means what he says. This is what he means. If the guy says, I'm mevatel the chatzer and I'm mevatel the house, so that even Chachamim would agree that other people are allowed to carry from the chatzer into the house also. We're going to learn this topic a lot later. I think in the fourth parak or the fifth parak, there's a lot about this. Well, let's just do the last line. Zakti Gemara. V'chein shamati mimenu sheyotzen ba'ar kablin bepesach. The third thing that they heard from Rabbi Lezer is that you yotze this type of bitter grass called arkablin, you yotze marar on Pesach, my arkablin amir shlokish, atzvasa charuziyasa. It is a bitter, thick piece of grass that grows around the date palm tree. It grows around the base of the date palm tree, and it crawls up the date palm, and it has the taste of mar. Okay, gentlemen, Hajjan Allah Osin Pasin, Baruch Hashem, we are two prakim down here. And I guess just a quick question. I know we only have five chavri here now. None of you daven, oh, actually, Tzvi, do you sometimes daven at the 625, 630 BMW minion? Do you sometimes daven there, Tzvi?
Yeah.
So you daven at the 6:30, yeah. So starting on Tuesday, I'm going to have to change the timing, the start time to 7:05. It would be a little better for me 7:00, but you got to finish davening there. So 7:05 doesn't help. It wouldn't be good for you, right?
I'll figure out something.
No. I don't want to. Let's try 7:05. We'll see how bad. Just because all this like taking people's temperatures and stuff, like for me to cruise into yeshiva at like 7:50 is a little hard, but it's fine. Let's starting on Tuesday, we're going to go 7:05 to 7:45, Bli Neder. I'm not going to be able to post this year till a lot later because it's mamish down to the second. 7:45, I'm going to be busting out of the house to go to yeshiva to make sure I'm in yeshiva by 7:50. But the Bez Hashem, it'll all work out. So 7:05 to 7:45, starting on Tuesday. Till Tuesday, what's today? Friday. Okay, so Motzei Shabbos, what time, Mordechai? Motzei Shabbos, what time?
Last week, I think we did it at 9.
9:00. Last week, we did 9:00.
We could do it a little earlier this time, Rabbeinu.
8:30 is
Tzeis
for Rabbeinu
Tam.
8:30?
I think so. Unless I'm mistaken. Hold on a second.
No, I think he's right, Rabbeinu. Wow. Okay, let's try 8:45. Let's try 8:45.
8:40 is Tzeis for Rabbeinu Tam.
Can we try 8:45, or is that too early? 8:45.
Wait 5 minutes.
That's not
8:45. 8:45. We're gonna try Bli Neder Motzei Shabbos 8:45, and then Sunday morning again 7:15, and Monday morning 7:15, and then Tuesday morning we're down to 7:05. Tuesday morning, that's the old time. And I'm still considering the in person thing. I'm still considering it. Some of it is an issue of timing, but we'll see. We'll see. Believe that by Tuesday I'll make a decision. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Awesome. Rabbeinu is going to start the Parsha Shir Mitzvah next week.
Yeah, this coming Friday, believe that. Parsha Shir will be studying the Chas, the writings of the Sofer family, the daddy and the son. The Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer, Bez Hashem. The writings of the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav. Very, very much looking forward and excited to that. That will start this Friday, Bez Hashem. Again, I got to work at the exact schedule, but if the daf is at I have to see. I have to see if the parasha guys can learn a little bit earlier or a little bit later. I have to see. I have to see what we're doing.
5 a.m. What'd you say, Rabbi?
I say, well, I have to see if the. I'm not sure when the parasha and the daf. How we're going to do the daf and the parasha? We'll see. Well, I'll figure it out.
Awesome. Thank you, Rabbeinu.
Culture.